Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now beginning the eighth and penultimate parak of Masechet Bechorot, which is going to introduce us to the Bechor LeKohen, meaning a Bechor Adam who is owed to the Kohen, as it were, and the Torah commands us to redeem him. We have touched on this topic very, very little over the course of the Masechet, and now we're going to deal with it full on. Just one note, we deal with Adam in the previous parak, but that was a whole different piece. That was a Kohen and Mumim that affect a Kohen for his Avodah. Here we're talking about children born, and it will be deliberately non-Kohanic children who are born, who need to be redeemed. And what this first Mishnah and most of the parak will lay out is those births in which the child is a Bechor LeKohen, and of course there's Bechor for a whole different purpose, which is the father's firstborn son, who gets an extra portion of the Nachala, as detailed to be in Parshat Ki Teitze, Ki Yetiyena L'Ishtei Nashim, etc. And so we're going to look at those births which would establish status of Bechor LeNachala, the latter, or Bechor LeKohen, the former, both, neither, or the flip. So let's see. Yesh b'chor l'nachala, eino b'chor l'kohen. You could have a b'chor who is the nachala, and the simplest way that would happen would be is if a man married a woman who already had children, and this man did not have children, and they had a son together. That son is the father's first son, but not the mother's, and therefore there's no peterechem here, but there is reshit ono, his first strength. We're going to deal with far more complex birth issues. So yesh b'chor l'nachala v'eino b'chor l'kohen, b'chor l'kohen v'eino b'chor l'nachala, the flip, b'chor l'nachala l'kohen, you can be for both, yesh eino b'chor l'nachala v'lo l'kohen, and that is if you have neither. Let's start with the first thing. Tosafot points out here that in some prakim, when you have a Mishnah which presents all four of the possibilities, when there are two variables, sometimes the Mishnah will then start detailing the last one and go in reverse order. In this case, it follows the first one. Ezu b'chor l'nachala v'en b'chor l'kohen. When do you have a b'chor who inherits the double portion but is not redeemed? Habachar nefalim. Let's say that a woman miscarried, and then the next child is a son. Even though when the head came out, and now this is to be talking about a preemie, an eighth-month baby, who came out, he was alive, or if he was a full-term baby, and by the time the head came out, he was already dead, so stillborn, the child that follows it is a b'chor l'nachala, but not b'chor l'kohen, because there's already been a peterechem. Meaning, if a woman had a full gestation baby in her, that's already considered peterechem when it comes out. If it was less than that, then if it dies inside, that's not called peterechem. Hamapelet kemin beimachay avaof, the machloket we've already seen several times between Rameinu Chachamim, but a woman who miscarries and the result looks like an animal or a bird, Dever Meir, so that would already qualify as peterechem, and the one follows it is not Bechor LeKohen. And this is a quote from Nida, Chachamim say until it has a human form, it's not called a birth. Hamapelet sandal o shilya o shfir merukam. These are all different forms that are slightly formed humans, so they look human, but they're clearly very embryonic. Or if pieces come out, and that summarizes our first category. By the way, as long as this Mishnah is, it is not all of Mishnah Aleph. That's why I marked it Aleph 1. Aleph 2 will be completed in the next podcast. Let's say a man never had sons. And he married a woman who already had kids. And that's why I mentioned at the beginning, the simplest case. But now a more complex case. Let's say she had kids when she was a shifcha, then became liberated, then he married her. Oda ovet goya v'nitkara. She was non-Jewish when she had kids. She converted, married him, and had a son. Mishabat li Yisrael yalda, and then she had a child afterwards when she married this fellow. B'chor l'chala v'ena b'chor l'kohen, because she's already had her womb opened, but she is this fellow's first child. Which, of course, raises the question, you don't need to construct a case where she converted. She could have just been Yisraelite, and we'll discuss that in the Gemara. Rabbi Yosef Glili Omer b'chor l'nachala v'la kohen. In such a case, where a woman had children as a non-Jew, and then converted, that first child is a b'chor l'kohen also. Shenemar peterechem b'vnei Yisrael, that the peterechem is B'Yisrael, meaning Anshif through Rechem Yisrael, meaning she has to have, if you will, a Jewish womb that gets opened, and so therefore this is her Petar Rechem. It's as if she's reborn. Misha Yulo Banim V'Nasa Isha Sheyulo Yalda. Now we're going to flip it. A man had children, and he married a woman who never had children. Nitgaram Uberet, or she converted while she was pregnant. Nishtacharam Uberet, or she was a Shifcha who became liberated when she was pregnant, v'yalda, or he v'kohenet. Let's say that a regular woman has a child, and there's a kohenet, we'll see what a kohenet means, has a child, and the children get mixed up. He u'leviyah, or the same thing, there's a leviyah. He v'isha shekvar yalda, or she and simply a woman who's already had kids, and the kids get mixed up. V'chein mishalo shata lachar ba'alash l'sha chodashim, or with a single woman, meaning not a woman who is not in the same room as another woman giving birth and the children get mixed up, but one woman whose husband, let's say, died or divorced her, and she did not wait the necessary 3 months. And then she married early against the advice of the Chachamim and the rule of the Chachamim, and therefore she had a child 7 months after remarrying. So we don't know if it's a full-term baby of the first husband or a seven-month baby of the last one. And she had never had a child before, so it's certainly Bechor LeKohen, because Petar Rechem. On the other hand, it's not Bechor LeNachala, and in the last case, and in all of these last cases, it's because we do not know who the father is, and therefore we can't give him Bechor LeNachala. He can't get double portion. The reality is he can't get any portion, because we don't know which family he belongs to. Okay, now let's pick it up in the Gemara. Amar Shmuel, Ein HaRosh Poter B'Nefalim. He just says a simple statement, which is the coming out of the head, birthing of the head, if it's already a Nefel, does not make it a Petar Rechem. Right? That's Shmuel's position. My Tama, what's his reason? Because the Pasuk says in the description of the destruction of the flood, Kol Shenishmat Ruach Chayim Ba'apav. Anything that has life in its nose was destroyed. Literally, the spirit of life coming out of its nostrils, meaning kol hechad nishmat ruach chayim ba'apav u'chashiv reishis. It's only when it's actually living that that's called, that the head counts. Idach lochashiv reishis. Now, what Shmuel's doing here is he's taking the pasuk to build up the first half of his case, saying, you're defining life as breathing, and then saying only if it's alive, which is now defined as breathing, which means more than the head has to come out, that the head has to come out, that only applies when the thing is alive itself. Now, let's test this. Tonight, our Mishnah talks about a Nefel that came out with its head alive. We said that is Petar Rechem. Okay, so we see that Rosho does matter, even though this thing is already a Nefel, because it's coming out during the 8th month. My Rosho, remember in rabbinic gynecology, the 8th month baby is as good as dead. My Rosho, Rubo. So Rosho here doesn't mean the head, it means the head and the rest of the body. Velitni Rubo, so why don't you say Rubo? The answer is Bedino de Ibile the Mitni Rubo. The Mishnah really should have said Rubo. But again, we have parallel construction. Vadika by the Mitni Seifa, in the Seifa of the Mishnah, it's going to say Benti Shashi Atzar Rosho mate. Meaning in the next clause, it's going to talk about have the head coming out while the baby is already dead. Tama de Rosho mate. It's only because he's dead. So in other words, what would we say? If the Ben Tisha, meaning a full-term baby, comes out and he's dead when the head comes out, that's still called Petar Rechem, but he's the one who comes afterwards is B'chor L'Nachala, implying that, and we infer from here, that if he was to be alive, a nine-month baby, be alive when birthed, when the head came out, then the child afterwards would not even be a Bechor L'Nachala. The Bechor L'Nachala was already born and died. So therefore, Tana Reisha Nami Rosho. Therefore, the Reisha also used Rosho, even though it really meant Rubo. That's how we defend Shmuel. My Kamash Balan. So what's that teaching us? You're trying to teach us one principle, that when the head comes out, that's a birth. Tanina, we already have that Mishnah at the beginning of the fourth parak of Chulin in the context of Ben Pekua. Hotziro show, if the animal put its head out, Avishachziro, then put it back, Hareza ki yulud, and then when you shech the mother, you still have to shech the baby separately because it was already born, as opposed to being a Ben Pekua, who is Nitar b'shechitat imo. So now you're going to argue, Shmuel will argue that our Mishnah is teaching us that that's true about Adam, and that Mishnah Bechulin is about Behema. And why would we need both? Adam Behemah Yalif. We can't learn Adam from Behema. Delete Lapro's door. After we said there in that parak, a Behema does not have the same sort of birth canal, and therefore I might think that when the Adam comes into the birth canal, he's already born. So therefore I needed to teach that when the head comes out, Adam I could not have learned Behema from Adam because Mishum Nechashi Partsuf Panim Dideh, because with a person, we're concerned about the face. The face matters in a person. That's why it might be that the head coming out is important. Can't apply to Behema. So if we need both, but that doesn't work either because Hanami Tanina Yatsakar Arkom Yishyatsar Rov Rosho. We have that later on in our parak, which if a baby is born in a normal way, when a majority of the head comes out, Vezu Rov Rosho, Vishtetse Parachto, that's the forehead. So that proves that we already have a Mishnah teaching us that Rosho is significant, and therefore Tiyufta de Shmuel, Tiyufta. Shmuel has been refuted, and ultimately refuted, because we see that there is no need for our Mishnah to pick Rosho just to make the point of Leida that's already been picked. It must really mean Rosho, and therefore if the Rosh comes out, that's already called enough of a Leida, even though it's a Nefel, against Shmuel. Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Padacha poter b'chol makom chutz min hanachala. So now Rabbi Shimon Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are going to disagree about the role of the forehead coming out. Rabbi Shimon Lakish says that when a baby is born, when the forehead comes out, that already makes it a birth for every purpose except for nachala, meaning that if the child dies at that point, that the one that comes afterwards, if it's a boy, will be b'chol hanachala. My Tama, what's the reason for that? Yakir Amar Achman, in the very famous pasuk about Nachala, it says that the father shall recognize the Bechor to give him double. And therefore you can't recognize him until the full face is out. Rechaman Filu Nachala, Rechaman says he's a Bechor for everything, meaning that the one coming afterwards is not a Bechor for anything. So he does not accept Yakir as being a determinant. Now, b'chol makom l'tuyimai. Why did Rabbi Shlakish say b'chor b'chol makom except for nachala? What's that? Just there's two things: kohen and nachala. So l'tuyi hanatanavan. It's there for the following case: giyor she'atzah padachat v'lada v'yotah nochrit. Let's say a woman is converting and she's in the middle of birthing while she's converting, and the forehead comes out before she converts. V'chakach nigara, and then did the giyor. She is not considered to have had a Leida as a Yisraelite, and therefore doesn't have any of the rules of Tumah v'Tahara of Leida, and of Yaqorban Leida. She doesn't bring the Korban for the nest of the two birds. And that is subsumed under the phrase B'chol Makom that Rish Lakish used to say that if the forehead is born, that's a full birth already. So if that happened before she converted, then the rest of the birth is not considered. So Meitibay, watch this challenge to Rabbi Yochanan, Yakir, Zuakarat Panim, that when the father recognizes his Bechor, it means to see the face. I mean, the face has to be born. Vezuakarat Panim, Patsuf Panim Imachotem. That means the face with the nose. That's hardly just the forehead. So Tani Arachotem. So don't read Imachotem, it's Arachotem, meaning the forehead till the nose. Let's set it again. Toshma. Eni Dibe Ella al Partsuf Panim. This is now shifting to the end of Masachet Yevamot. It talks about testimony that a man has died to allow his wife to remarry. You must see the Partsuf Panim Imachotem, the face with the nose, to be able to recognize and say, yeah, that's the guy I saw who was dead. Tani Arachotem. So read, that means that the forehead up until the nose. A little bit difficult. Toshma padachat below patsuf panim, or patsuf panim below padachat, if you have the face, meaning the lower face without the forehead, or vice versa, ein meidin ad shu shnehem imachotem, you need both of them with the nose. Rabbi Yitzhak of Kahana, Maikra, what's the pasuk to support that? Hakarat pnehem antabam, in the sinning women in Yerushalayim, their face reveals what they've done, but hakarat pnehem means you have to be able to see the whole face and recognize it. So therefore you see that in order to identify Yakir and give the status of Yakir, there has to be a full facial availability, which means the whole face has to have been born, and that supports Rish Lakish. So the answer we give is Shani Idut Isha Dachmir Barabanan. Edut Isha is such a severe thing that the Rabbanan raised the threshold and said it's not enough to recognize, see the forehead come out, you have to recognize the whole face. Makes a lot of sense. But it's not true. That's the testimony. It's the lightest of all. Vatanan, we have in Yevamot, you have the Mishnah Yevamot, who said, Kuliot Mesim Enipied. The tradition became to allow a woman to marry based on second-hand testimony, or Mipi Isha, Mipi Evan, Mipi Shivchar, from all sorts of people who are otherwise not proper witnesses. But if they come and say, we saw this guy, and they dragged him out of the lake, and he was dead, they pulled the leg out above the knee, or whatever the shear is, that's good enough, and the woman can marry. So you see that they're very, very light and lenient when it comes to this testimony. The answer is, Ke'akilu Rabbanan b'sofa. You're right. The Kula is at the end of the road. B'tchilata lo akilu Rabbanan. So the opposite. Because we're going to be lenient with who will accept as a witness in order to allow this woman to marry, therefore the stakes become higher, and therefore we raise the threshold of testimony at the beginning that they really have to see something more than we would demand for Nahala, and that is the face with the nose. Another answer to our problem is Yakir Lachud Vakar Panim Lachud. We have two different psukim. Yakir is to just recognize, it means something got to come out of the face. That's the forehead. Hakar Panehem, that we use the pasuk from Yishayahu, that may demand more. Okay, Itmar. Hayulo Banim Bioto Goy Vinitkayer. Now let's flip the case of the Mishnah and take a look at it from the other perspective. If a man was not Jewish and he had children, and then he converted, and he had another child. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Ein lo b'chol nachala. This first child is not b'chol nachala. All the children get the same. Shimon Lakish Omer, Yesh lo b'chol nachala. No, this new child is the b'chol nachala. Let's see why. Yochanan Omer, Ein lo b'chol nachala. David Levi, she don't know. The Torah says his first strength, that's the b'chor. And that's who this kid is. That's who he had. So this first kid after he converted is not Rishi Tono. Shimon Lakish Omer, Yesh lo b'chol nachala. Says the first kid is b'chol nachala. Why? When a person converts, they're like reborn. So therefore, this first child he has is reshitono. V'azdu l'tamayu. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are staying consistent with their own positions. De'idmar. Hayula banim b'yoto goy v'nitkayer. Let's say that a person had children and then converted. Chamar kiyem piriv rivi. He's already fulfilled the mitzvah of puravu because he brought children into the world. Shimon Lakish Amar lo kiyem, didn't fulfill it, asked him more kids. Amar kiyem, why? Because lo tov ra'a l'shevet yitzara, the pasuk that we invoke all the time in the context of non-Jews filling the world, that God did not create the world to be a wasteland, but rather to be settled. He fulfilled it. Shimon Lakish Amar lo kiyem per v'yivu, why? Because gerish n'kayir katan shon olad dami. And here, being reborn becomes a chumrah, meaning anything you did till now doesn't count, you're starting a new life, gotta have more kids. Utsrichas, and why do we need to have this machloket, this parallel machlokot of b'chol nachala and puravu? If we only had the first machloket out b'chor, we would say b'hakam or Shimon Lakish. That's where Shimon Lakish holds his position. Because you don't have the regular rules of nachala when you're a goy, and therefore this firstborn child that you had isn't getting anything special that you had as a goy, and therefore when you marry, when you convert and marry a Jewish woman and have a child who's going to have nachala, so that would be the first ben nachala, if you will. Aval baha, in the case of Puravu, I'm married to Rabbi Yochanan, to Otobra al Shevet Sarab, and he may agree with Rabbi Yochanan that when you had kids as a non-Jew, that does count for Puravu because you have a pasuk that indicates that everybody's got to populate the world. Mavad Shevet, and he completed that. V'intmar baha, but on the other hand, if we only had the machloket about Puravu, so I do a flip tzrichuta, as we call it. I would think that Yochanan's position that he is not really reborn, fully reborn as a convert, only applies to Puravu, because the reason we gave, when it comes to Nachala, perhaps he agrees with Shimon Lakish. Therefore, we needed both Machlokot to see that both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish stick to their positions in both disputes. Now, it's none. Let's test this. Mi shelo ayu lo banim, asai isha shekva yaldawa, or oda shifcha v'nishtachra, oda ove goya v'nikara, shabata Yisrael yalda, v'lada b'chol nachala v'en b'chol l'koin. So the clause in our Mishnah, which is if a man had a woman who had children as a non-Jew and then converted, and then he had a child with her, that is b'chol nachala, which really seems to support Rish Lakish just on the face of it. Yaldamiman. Now, who did she have this kid with after she converted? Israel, shalom, ayulo banim. If it's a Jewish man who never had kids, So my Giyard Shivcha, why do you need a convert or a Shivcha? I feel about Yisrael Nami, that would be true, and I asked this in the Mishnah, that would be true even about a regular Israelite who already had kids, and then gets divorced or widowed, and marries a guy who never had kids, and they have a kid together, that son is B'chol HaNachal, not B'koin. So we need to construct this weird case. It must be that she's marrying a ger who converted and also had kids. You could even construct the case where they had kids together, and they both converted, and then they had another kid. So that would be the case where this is B'chol HaNachalah. B'chol HaNachalah totally supporting Rav Shlakish, meaning that the man's children from before don't count as far as B'chol HaNachalah and don't affect this new child from having that status. Well, Rabbi Yochanan would answer that the case of our Mishnah is when she married a Yisrael who never had sons. What was the purpose of the statement? You're right, we could have, to say B'chol HaNachalah, it could have even been Yisraelite. The point was to say that this child is not a B'chol HaKohen. Why lafukim Rabbi Yossi Aglili to counter Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Damar b'chol nachala vila kohen. Remember what he said about that case in the Mishnah? Shenamar b'terechem Yisrael. When a woman is not Jewish and has kids and then converts, the first kid she has is called peterechem because that she's through rechem Yisrael. It has to open a Jewish womb, as it were. So kamash malan delo. Therefore, it teaches us against Rabbi Yossi Aglili. That's why I picked that case. But really, he could have picked the case of Yisraelite. Okay, Toshma, let's test this. Hayulo banim biyoto goy v'nit kayer, yeshlo b'chol anachalah. So here you have a clear statement that's exactly Rish Lakish. You're a non-Jew, you have sons, you convert, and that first son you have after you convert is b'chol anachalah. So, Amaravina avitema rav acha, havad Rabbi Yossi Glili. That bright that must be author Rabbi Yossi Glili, Rabbatach Yisrael, Rabbatach Yisrael, as we already saw. V'yalif ihu mina dida. And what happened? Rabbi Yossi Aglili's essential midrash is about the woman, about peterechem. And so therefore he applies it to the man and says also for the man, if he already had children and now he has children after he converts, then those are B'Yisrael, and therefore that first one is a Bechor. But that would not prove Rish Lakish to be right, because Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are both disagreeing, alibed Rabbanan. Okay, the famous halacha that we already saw in Chulin, and now we'll discuss it. Rav Adabar Aval Leviashi Yalda Bena Pator Mi Chamisha Slaim. If a Levia, and we don't yet know what a Levia means, for right now we'll think she's a Bat Levi, that had a child, there was no Pidyon Aben. The Abba Miman. Now, parenthetically, who is the man? Who's the father here? Either Medi Bami Koin Levi, if the father's a Koin or a Levi, Ma'ir Levia, then you don't need the woman to be a Levia, Fili Yisraeli Nami. As long as the father's a Koin or Levi, there's no Pidyon Aben, because this child is already in, as it were. Eladi Abba Mi Yisrael. It must be that her husband is a Yisrael. But why would that be? The Torah says that family lineage is all determined by the father. So if a Yisrael marries a Bat Levi, it should be that the child is just considered Israel and you have to redeem him. So why would Avada Barba say that? Papa, the Abba Migoy, he says the case must be, what he's talking about is if a Levia had a child with a non-Jew. And don't think that this is only according to the position that says we do not mezamin tavlad. In other words, we don't call the child we don't identify the child as being the son of that non-Jew and thus stigmatize him. Even according to the opinion that says we do identify him that way, Levi pasul mikri. We still call him a Levi pasul, so he's a Levi, and therefore we'd be exempt. That's what Papa's take. The Rav Adabar Avraham's halacha is only when the Levia, Bat Levi, had a child with the Goy. That's, of course, very difficult, because Rav Adabar Avraham just presented it without any qualifier. Marbred Rav Yosef Omar Mishmeid Rav, he had a different take. Le'olam di Abar Yisrael, the husband is Yisrael. So therefore, why don't we follow the father's identity? Because the Torah said, when it comes to B'chor LaKohen, it's about the womb. It's the woman who really determines it. After all, it's the woman's first child, the one that opens the woman's womb. And therefore, if she's a Bat Levi, therefore, the child is exempt. All right, let's test this. Tan. Mishel hayulo banim. V'nasai isha shelo yalda. A man had already had children and married a woman who never had children. Nidkaramu beret nishtachramu beret. Or she converted or became free as already pregnant. V'yalda hi v'chohenet. And remember the case? She and a Kohenet had the children mixed up. And all this fekot. And why they quote this whole piece is a little bit unclear, because all they needed was the case of the Kohenet. Right? What do we infer from here? Very clearly, that a Kohenet and a Leviyah are exempt, and that's why having this child mixed up with them creates the confusion, where is it Bechor Lenachala, Bechor Lekohen, not Bechor Lenachala. Now, the Abba Miman, who did this woman get pregnant from? Elim the Abba Mikohen V'Levi, her husband himself is a Kohen and Levi. I'm sorry, who did the Kohenet and Leviyah get pregnant from? If it's a Kohen or Levi, so Yachim Ayur Yekohen of Levi, again, after the Bat Yisrael Nami, remember she's a Yisraelite. The Avami Goy, must be that she got pregnant from a Goy. So Kohen of Ptura, is that really true, that if a Bat Kohen has relations with the Goy and has a child, that the child doesn't need to be redeemed? If I'm a Papa, Batiklon Rava, it should be Rava. Rava tested us with the following question. Kohenet Shinta Abrami Goy, Mahu, what if a Kohenet has a child with a non-Jew? Does the child need Pidyon HaBen? V'aminale, and I, Rav Papa said, answered Rava, Lav hainu de Ravada Barava, isn't that the same rules Ravada Barava, the Malviya Shialda b'na patur mi'chamesh slayim? So doesn't that mean that a, and Rav Papa, of course, his take on it was that Ravada Barava's case is where the Leviyah had relations with the Goy, and nonetheless, the kid is patur, so certainly a bat kohen should be the same. V'amali, and what did Rava answer me? Hachashta, they're not the same. Let's consider if a Leviyah has relations with a Goy, she hasn't lost her status as a Leviyah at all. Tanya Leviyah shenishbeitu shenivala biladznut. If a Leviyah was taken captive and raped there, or she would just had biladznut, meaning sex outside without any marriage component to it, notnin la mina maser rochelet. She still gets maser. In other words, she doesn't lose anything. Ela Kohenet, but a bat Kohen came and divoyela havia zara. The minute that she has relations with a goy, she comes as zara. She can't have truma besides kachim. She certainly can't have. Therefore, her status dropped. Therefore, it could be that her child now has to be redeemed. So now you'd have to say that the Kohenet in our Mishnah, who is exempt, who therefore our lady in the Mishnah, whose child got mixed up with him, creates the confusion. And that family still has to give 5 slaim to the Kohen, because we know somewhere there's a proper Bechor in there. But the Kohenet cannot have had relations with the Goy to create that scenario. So that works according to the quote from Rava, who said that the case of the Kohenet, of Ravada Ba'ava, is when the husband's Yisrael. So the case in our Mishnah is where the Kohenet had relations with Yisrael. Our Papa, my Mokim Labat, our Papa won't work. Because our Papa said that Ravada Barava's rule is about when she had relations with the Goy. And according to what Rava answered our Papa in the Beit Midrash, if Kohenet had relations with the Goy, the resulting child would have to be redeemed. So the Olam de Abba Mikoin v'Hibat Yisrael. So now we're going to turn around and say the Kohenet Leviyah at the end of the Mishnah is really a Yisraelite. The husband's a Kohen or a Levi. My car la Kohenet, it's been a Kohen. Why are we calling her a Kohenet? Because a child is a Kohen, so Kohenet here does not mean Bat Kohen, it means Eshet Kohen. And that solves everything. Okay? Got one more piece here. Itmar, Kohen Shemet V'Niach Ben Chalal. Let's say a Kohen had a child that he had with a Grusha. So the child is a Chalal, and the Kohen died. The son now has to redeem himself. And this goes back on the previous theme of a Kohen child that's born stigmatized that he still needs pidyon. He doesn't have to redeem himself. Now let's see how this works. And remember, the father's a Kohen, which means if he had to redeem the kid, he could just give himself the money. If the father died after the child was alive for 30 days and the father did nothing about it, everybody agrees that son does not have to redeem himself. Why? The father already sort of got the pidyon, meaning at 30 days, the father was obligated to be poda, and so that money now officially comes back to him without him doing anything, and it's been done. The machloket of Chisto and Rav Huna is only if the father died within 30 days, because the child was not yet chayiv in pidyon. Why does he have to redeem himself? The father did not yet get the pidyon. Why? The Amarle, the son can say to the other Kohen who comes and says, give me five slain for you. I am representing a man that you can't take to court. My father, and he's dead. Alright, let's test this. We said that if a woman converted as pregnant and then had the baby, that baby is a Bechol HaKohen. I mean, if she had the baby after she was already Jewish. V'amai, according to you, why, according to that reasoning, why is she Bechol HaKohen? Lemalei, the father should say to the Kohen, or the son, sorry, should say to the Kohen, Atim Mikvach Kavr Lomatzi Shtoi Dinabade, I'm coming representing a man that you can't take to court, because he's a Goy. The father from the I was conceived when mother was not yet Jewish. So Shani Goy, the late Lechayis, that's different, because the father there doesn't have any connection to his son. Elo Yichus. And as a result of that, it's not like this is the father and mother's son. It's the mother's son from some unknown donor, as it were. And therefore, the son is on his own. As opposed to our case, where the Kohen had a wrong baby, illegitimate, but a wrong baby, a halal, so the baby's chayiv and pidyon, and here he's representing really his father, and his father is not available anymore. So that's why he could have that argument. So now he directly addresses the case. If the father died during the first 30 days, exactly like Rav Chista, because the father who died never really got the pinyon. If he died after 30 days, father already got the pinyon, and therefore the son is not chayav, exactly as we presented and Rav Chista's position in the first case. Okay, at the end of the mystery, he says, we said that if a woman marries within 3 months of divorce or widowhood, and then has a child after 7 months, so we don't know if it belongs to the second husband or the first, he's not b'chol ha'nachala. B'chol ha'nachala hu de'lo ha'vei ha'ke pashut shakel? What, you mean he's going to inherit like a regular son? V'amai, how could he inherit? Leza v'gabehai, he could go to the heirs of the first father, meaning the guy who might have been his father from her first marriage. V'litche, and they'll push him away and say, you don't belong here, you go to the other marriage. Gabehai v'litche, and happen the same one, and he'll get nothing. You're right, he gets nothing. Why are we saying he isn't the b'chol ha'nachala? Come on, b'chol ha'kohen, v'b'acharav ein b'chol ha'nachala. What he means is, this guy is the Bechol HaKohen, and the child who comes afterwards in the second marriage is also not Bechol HaNachala, because this guy might be the Bechol HaNachala. So why don't they write a Harsha to each other? In other words, why doesn't he and the first one born after him in the second marriage write a Harsha, because one of them is the Bechol HaNachala, and they can go in between them, collect three portions, and divide them equally, and instead of getting one portion, get one and a half. Or actually, in his case, instead of getting nothing, get one and a half. Chitelo and Nitin Shalom Barsha, you think that our Mishnah is all talking about cases where there's no Arsha? We are a command of Arsha. Later on, we're going to see, and we'll see this in the next podcast, that it is a case where there is a Arsha written, allowing the two sons to inherit together, and then divide it up. So, Messiah the Rabbi Yanai, the Amar Rabbi Yanai, Hukul Sofnit Arbu, Kotin Arsha Zelazel, Hukul Sofnit Arbu, and Kotin Arsha Zelazel. When do we allow for Arsha? That is when two boys are born, we know who they are, and then they get mixed up, and that means that each one of them, at least for a moment, had a proper position in within the family, and then they got mixed up together, so we allow them to write a harsha for each other, and together they come and inherit what at least one of them got, plus what at least what the other one should get, and then they can divide it. But in our case, that isn't the case, because this child was born after 7 months in the new marriage, and from the very point of conception, or should we say, for the very point of visibility of the child in the womb, we already did not know whether he belonged to the first father or to the second. Okay, we'll stop at this point and pick it up with the second part and the final part of Mishnah Aleph and continue on in our study of B'chol HaNachala, B'chol HaKohen. In the meantime, you should have a wonderful day.